Praise the Lord. If you believe the Lord is going to say amen. We're all very welcome this morning. We have not come for a church service, so I'm not going to preach a lengthy sermon. I'll just exhort slightly. Then my other co-speakers will also speak, and then we are all going to discuss. I was here last time, and we really had a nice time. You know, learning what our wives expected from us. I know when a woman stands and says, look, this is what I expect men to do. She's not saying men, it's my husband. Yeah. So I'm sure as the women were speaking, the respective husbands were taking note. Alright? And of course, we all learned something from what other people said also. Alright, today we want to talk about what men expect from their wives. That is what men wish their wives knew about them. Please, I've broken what I'm going to talk about briefly into three parts. And only the third part is specifically on that subject. The other two parts are just to introduce what we are going to be saying. Now, so that it won't be like we're in church, I want to talk freely. I want us to just read some portions of the scripture first. Then I close my Bible and then we'll begin to talk. So if you have your Bible, quickly, let's start by reading from the book of John chapter 3. All the verses there we are all aware of. We know them very well. The book of John chapter 3. It was when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus, who had sneaked up to him by night to ask questions about what was happening in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord answered him in verse 3. Jesus answered to him and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Then Nicodemus asked that famous question. How can a man be born when he's already old? He cannot return to enter into his mother's womb, can he? I'm using the New American Standard. In that said in verse 5, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. My emphasis is verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. That's the first one. Then next, let's open to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I want to just read one. My emphasis again will be verse 6, but let me just quickly rush through from verse 3. I'll jump a few verses so I can get to my verse 6 on time. It says, if anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with the doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing. But he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind, and deprived of the truth. Now, this is where I'm going. Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain? But godliness actually, that's New American Standard rendering, but godliness actually is a means of great gain. Men thought it's a means of gain. Paul said, actually it's a means of great gain, but on one condition, when accompanied by contentment. Last verse I want to read, Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Like I said, I want to quickly say a few words about three different things. And the third one is where I'll spend most of my time. Chapter 3, verse 16. This is a curse that God placed upon the woman. He said to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Those are the three verses I want to read, three portions I want to read. Let me quickly talk. Now, I said three things I'm going to talk about. Number one, let me title this first portion, natural versus spiritual. The second one, I talk about godliness, the contentment. And then the third one, what men rightly expect. Now, I put that word rightly there to emphasize it, because anybody can have expectations, but we are believers and we are trying to learn what God expects. Are you getting the point? Now, first of all, what do I mean by natural versus spiritual? There's something, in fact, I was talking with our brother, Bryce Zachary, with the, a few days ago, and we both agreed that for a long time, although he repented before me, but I repented that day. That was just about 2 days ago. There's this set of books by Tim LaHaye, Why You Behave the Way You Behave. Anyway, essentially analyzing human personality from a psychologist's viewpoint and then trying to present the truth of life from those things. Now, I'm a medical doctor. When I was in medical school, one of the things we had to learn was psychology as part of our training in psychiatry. So I had a background in those things before I saw the books. And I was very angry at those books initially. In fact, until 2 days ago, I didn't used to read them. That is, I've not read any one in 2 days, but at least now I know I will read one. All right? Why? Because I felt that people were using analysis of psychology to explain their behavior and to excuse their behavior. Do you understand the point? So a man, like we say this all the time. He said that, you know, as a man, I don't have time for details. And the woman said, you know, as a woman, I can never have enough shoes. Now listen, are those things that are really our traits as men, as women? Yes, they are true. But I want to just quickly drop something for us today. As we are going on saying that this is what men are like and this is what women are like, let me explain a principle to you. Don't ever use them as excuses for bad behavior. You know what men are like. We know what women are like. Then we now check, are those things right? If they are wrong, we now work against them with the word of God. Let me give you an example, a very practical example, an extreme but practical. Do you know it is natural for a man to like many women? Like I proved to you from the Bible. David said, Solomon said, I gathered for myself the pleasures of all men, many concubines. It's natural. It's natural. That's why I read the first scripture. He said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. A man is born a man. Natural, fleshly, manly attitude is that he will marry one wife today, have another girlfriend next week, marry a third wife all the way. That was why Muhammad gave them a law. Okay, take four. And let me tell you, the day Jesus said to his disciples, you cannot divorce your wives, Peter said, John, you know you have not married. Better don't marry. How did he say it? He said, in that case, no, go and read the Bible. They said, in that case, it is better not to marry. But what is the truth? That is born of flesh. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. As believers, we drink of the spirit of Christ. And it tells us that Solomon says, vanity upon vanity. All is vanity. After chasing after 1,000 women, I discovered that there is nothing better than for a man to rejoice with the wife of his youth. One wife. So we don't excuse what is, we don't excuse our behavior because it is natural. One day, one of my students, she did something that was very annoying. I was giving them special tutorials. So they told her, I walked out of my class later on, and I gave the rest of the class a lecture about what she did. So they went and reported to her. She now came next day to come and apologize to me. She was begging me, follow me up and down. So I said, okay, I've heard you. Bye-bye. As I was about to leave, she grabbed my hand. I did like this, like, do you want me to slap your face? You don't have manners where you come from. How can you grab your lecturer's hand to restrain him from going away? She said, hey, that's where I started again. Sir, this is the way I am. I said, this is a mistake you people make. She's a married woman. In fact, she was heavily pregnant at that time. I said, you are like this. It's not right. Now that you know you are like this, what do? You work against it. She said, that's how she behaves with her husband. I said, don't behave like that with me. I won't take it. My juniors don't behave like this with me. Let me not spend too much time on that. So as we are saying that this is what we are like, this is what we are not like, let's be checking that which is good and that which is bad. Oswald Chambers said something. I've read a lot of his books. He said, when God created Adam, he was natural. That God expected Adam to convert that which was natural to that which is spiritual by obedience to the word of God. And that was what he refused to do in the fall. Please, let's bear that in mind. That's the first thing I want to say. The second thing I want to say, that first one was why I read John chapter 3. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is what? Spirit. And when he said you must be born again, there's a day you gave your life to Christ, that is true. But there's a burning again process, you understand what I mean? Every day, as you discover traits about you that are not of God, and you convert them to that which is of God. Please, I hope you understand that. Let's not hide behind the fact that I'm a woman. I can't have enough shoes. you can have enough shoes. You can count the number of shoes you have and speak to yourself that vanity upon vanity, all is vanity beyond this level. And as a man does it, I don't attend to details. If details are important, attend to them. You will learn to attend to those things. The next thing I want to say quickly is the issue of godliness and contentment, which we read. Let me quickly say that. If I've shared it in this forum some, that was last year, end of last year, about a year ago. And that people often say something, and I want to emphasize it severally so that it will be printed in our hearts. They say, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And like I always say, that's a hungry man. A real man, that thing does not enter his stomach. It doesn't enter his heart. He will eat the food and forget you. Do you understand? But this is what I want to bring out. Let us even assume that the way to a man's heart is his stomach. They say, so cook food for your husband. I said, that is not right again. Not because you want to enter his heart. You cook good food because it is the right thing to do. What am I saying? Please, let's not, we are discussing what men expect, what women expect. There's what the Bible calls godliness, and there's what it calls contentment. What is godliness? Doing that which is right in the sight of God. That's one. Then what is contentment? Doing them whether you get results or not. There's one doctrine I preach against till today, and I know most preachers disagree with me, but I'm with just a few preachers on this subject. People say, when you want to prosper, you give, then God will give back to you. I said, it is a lie. I don't believe it. It is not scripture. If you want from God, Bible says, you have not because you ask not, not because you give not. Why do we give? We give because it is right. It's called godliness with contentment. My children, I love them very much. I give things to them. It has never crossed my mind that when I'm old, they'll take care of me. I intend to be dashing them houses when I'm 100 years old. If you tell me, God forbid it not happen, that one of my children will not live beyond the age of 6, and he's currently 5 and a half, I won't withdraw him from school. I will keep on sending him to school. I will keep on buying him. I won't say that this one won't live long. No. Every day I'm supposed to take care of my child. It's called contentment. Not because of what I'm going to get, but because it is what? Right. So people say that when you want to get something from your husband, you kneel down, you greet him, you do everything. I say, if you know it is right, then do it every time. Whether you want something or you don't want something. If you do it because of what you are going to get, you easily get discouraged. My wife knows. She said that this man is very hard. He said that when you are romancing your husband, you're asking for things. She knows. She doesn't even try, because I will say, you know, I said when I was angry, I will say it when we are in bed. Because I said it based on principle, not because of emotional distress. That's the other thing I want to say. So when we are learning what is right, let's learn them because they are right, not because we want to use them to get something from our wives or get something from our husbands. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right, that's it. Now, the main thing, which is the last thing I'll say, and then I leave, is that why I read that Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. What do we men expect from our wives? I will not speak in specific terms as if this man is like this, man is like that, because I don't have, we'll discuss all of that. Each person can come up. There are things I like, there are things I don't like. And those are, God doesn't, I mean, like, you can like white. It's not scriptural to write like white over green. Do you understand? And those are specific things. It's good your wife appreciates you like white or you like green. But I want to speak on general terms about what I believe is the most important thing that men expect from their wives. And let me summarize it like this. It is recognition of their leadership. And the reason is simple, because that's how God made it. There's something I tell my wife, I used to tell her those days, I've not had to tell her in the last many, many years. Because we have both agreed, we have both learned it. I said, am I wiser than you are naturally speaking? No. Am I smarter than you are naturally speaking? No. I may be older than you in age, but doesn't mean anything. But why is it that I'm the leader in the house? I said, simple, because God put an oil upon my head and said, you are the leader in the house. It's called an anointing. If your wife has a PhD and you only have an OND, you still have more natural and practical wisdom than she does. Why? Because the day you married, God put oil upon your head. It's called anointing. You will be a leader to this woman. Solomon was not naturally wise. It was an anointing God gave him to be king. It's inside a man's soul. Therefore, naturally, women, ladies, listen, we like you to recognize that. A friend of mine, his wife called me about they're just about a year in marriage. He called me about 2 nights ago, 3 days ago, and said, please, talk to my husband. So I won't give you detail what she said, but one of the things that happened was that the lady said that this December, let us do this, let's go here. And the man said no. And she said, why? And now this is the point. And that was why she lost it and she called me. The man said, I don't know why. It just feels right. Now, is it that he doesn't know why? When I called him and we spoke, he knew why. He told me his reasons. The only thing is that because his wife demanded why, he says, sorry, I'm telling you that this is the issue. Not because he doesn't want to tell, but if you want to obey what I'm saying based upon my convincing you by explanation, forget it. And I told him on the phone, oh boy, with that one, I'm with you. I said, and that one, your explanation is very stupid, though. When he told me the explanation, I said, that's rubbish. I said, but don't give that explanation. You will change your mind. As elders counsel, I think you should change your mind. But I agree with you that your wife has no right to demand why. You know why? If I tell my wife something, I said, if I'm traveling on the road and I lose my way and I meet a total stranger and he gives me direction, won't I follow it? I will. If I tell my wife, you are going somewhere, you're coming, and a total stranger tells you, don't pass that place, it is risky, you will accept. Why? That if you need to be persuaded by reasoning to obey what I'm saying, I'm not leading you. I'm not your husband. Because any stranger will do that for you. That is the thing about... I actually gave my wife a test many years ago about this. I came home and saw a bee. You know bees? They just gathered in front of our gates at one corner. So when she came back from work after me, I mean, you know, a whole hive of bees. You know the way it is? Vum, 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 everywhere. If I, as I was entering my compound that day, I heard so much flies flying around. I said, ah, we didn't die for here, we fly, for sure come. The next thing I look at, these flies are rather big, and they're big. Then I saw where the flies, in quote, were gathered, and they were bees, so I ran. So I was waiting, we're staying upstairs then. I was waiting for my wife to come. And when she came, as she entered the gate, I said, go to that side and run to the back. She looked up. I said, go to the other side and run to the back. So she went to the other side and ran to the back. In my mind, very good. This woman trusts me. I deliberately did not say, bees, bees, bees. No, I said, your husband said, go to the side and run. That is what gladdens the heart of a man. For those who want to steal people's husbands, nobody like that here, but I want to just explain something. People say, you see it in film, she will cook for him. It's not the cooking. Oh my God, I wish you would understand. The person who can steal a man is the one that makes him feel like he's very wise and he knows what he's doing. Cook all you want. Once it's like, our friend, you not get sense for head, forget. Cook all you want. Fred ain't coming back. Do you understand what I'm saying? Basically, what do men expect from their wives? I believe it is what God put inside. Recognize that we are the leader. Recognize that we are wise. Recognize that we have an anointing to give you direction. Recognize that we actually love you. What we are doing is not of wickedness. We may not be very right all the time, but we are, like my wife will say, I may not be there yet, but I'm going there. That, I believe, is the most important reason. In fact, why did I read that scripture? He said, your desire will be for your husband as part of the curses that God placed upon the woman. This is my experience. It's been my experience in life. Anytime a woman speaks in her heart or in reality to her husband, because there are two places you speak in. One, you speak in your heart, and one, you speak with your mouth. And the Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Well, you know what that scripture was saying? Forget what he's saying. It's what he's thinking that's more important. Because I don't eat the bread of a stingy man. He will say to you, eat, eat. But his heart is not with you. And as a man thinks in his heart, that's his real character. What am I saying? What you are thinking is very important. If you start thinking in your heart that my husband does not know what he's doing, I have more sense than he has, you are going to fall into the curse of Eve that says your desire will be for your husband. What does that mean? You only desire that which you don't have. If I say put up your hand, how many of you want a Lamborghini? Once you put up your hand, it means you don't have a Lamborghini. That's what it means.
If I say how many people would like to have 10 million naira, it's easy to know those who don't have it yet. Anybody whose hand goes up does not have 10 million. When men who have 10 million are gathered, say, how many people would like to have 10 million here? They'll be looking at you, say something else. Okay, how many people want to have 15 million? They are still looking at you. How many people want to have a billion? Then they put up their hands. You know, those who don't have a billion yet. Anything your desire is for, you don't have it. So when the Lord said to you, if your desire will be for your husband, it means you will lose him. You will lose him. And the easiest way to lose a man is to start making him feel like he doesn't know what he's doing. Let me tell you something. You can activate problems by believing them ahead of time. What I mean is this. We are godly people. Did I hear an amen? Or we are eating? I said, we are godly people. Did I hear amen?
Amen.
We have the Spirit of Christ. Did I hear amen?
Yes, sir.
It means that our words coming from our thoughts are very powerful. If you believe your husband does not have sense, his sense will always disappear once he comes home. I don't know what I hear what I said. If you keep on saying that, that's how you did last year, that's how we lost 200,000 naira. The other year, and I wanted to do this, we didn't get to buy that car. So he has made seven mistakes. The Bible says a righteous man makes seven mistakes, and the Lord brings him back up. Is that not in your Bible? A righteous man falls how many times?
Seven times.
So if your husband made mistakes several times, it's not proof that it doesn't have sense. One of the things I taught my wife recently, because we had some issues some time ago, he said, the problem is that you won't see anything. I'll tell you that, are we going or we're not going? You won't see anything. I said, so you will get up and dress up to go? I said, you don't realize my not saying anything is a statement. It means maintain status quo until the judge gives a ruling. And she got the point. So these days, if I don't say anything, it means we ain't doing anything. What am I saying? What do we want from our wives? I said, what do we rightfully expect? We want to take our place in the home, and we don't want anybody to struggle for our seat with us. That's the truth. He said that, obey those who have rule over you, so that they can do it cheerfully and joyfully. One of the things, I found out that the older men get, the quieter they become. You know why? They got tired of arguing long ago. I used to wonder why my father was so quiet. Then I got married, my father-in-law is so quiet. And I told my wife, it's because of my mother and because of your mother. That is why they are so quiet. I'm sure when they were young, these people were not this quiet. They just got tired of arguing with these women. So I told my wife, I am not going to get tired. I have sworn by God that I won't get tired. You will be the one to get tired first. But we don't want to enter into that contest. What am I saying? Allow us to be the leader in the home. Thank you very much. God bless you.
I believe that round of applause was for the recent one. Let's give one to the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, when the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when they met this stranger, after the stranger disappeared and realized it was the Lord, they said, we had a stir. There was a stir in our heart when he was speaking, a burning. I should have known it was the Lord speaking. I had a stereo. I don't know if a woman had a stereo, but I had a stereo when Dr. Olushina was speaking.